Hello, and welcome to the 91st episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. Perspective. Can you tell what I've been doing all week?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana. And obviously, we've been doing a lot of prospectus defenses for the last couple of weeks because everything with a P comes out as prospectus. So I'm joined tonight, as in many podcast nights, by a selection of co-hosts. Tonight we have Charlotte High, Jennifer Justice, Sarah Nixon, and Wendy Sierra. Good evening, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
So let's tell us about yourself. Charlotte, how about you start?
Well, I'm Charlotte High, and I'm a doctoral candidate at Purdue. The resident Lego scholar, and my dog just shook. Sorry.
I thought those were like Legos crumbling or something.
Like a Lego sound effect.
Yeah. No, that was her shaking with the big cone of shame.
Oh.
So yeah.
Jen.
Sure. I am Jen Justice. I'm a second-year, that's still so weird to say, I am a second-year PhD student here at Purdue University. I look specifically at video games and teaching a lot of times, and I'm currently kind of looking at technology and video games and access, so talking about getting those to lower income places.
Well. And who's next on the low list? Sarah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sarah. I am a game master at Kabam at San Francisco. So I think this is like the first time I've been here to introduce, and not at Purdue anymore. Yeah. Let's see. I basically work in live ops and community management. And I'm currently hunkering down for apparently, like, they're calling it, like, the biggest storm San Francisco has seen in a decade or something.
Wow.
So we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know.
Be safe.
I'm suspicious. but it could prove me wrong, so. We'll
right. Okay, Wendy?
I am Wendy Sierra. I am an assistant professor in English and Digital Cultures and Technologies at St. John's Fisher College in Rochester, New York. And I am so damned happy that it is finals week.
We are not even in finals week. So there's
right.
That.
I don't even get Christmas break till like literally the 24th.
That's when the grays are due, the 24th.
Oh, no. Oh,
wow.
Well, you can always get it in sooner. You
know. No, I will, but I'm just like, really?
Mine are due Monday.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Yeah. No.
It'll be a while for me. All right. So let's start with our usual, what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking, which is all the fun stuff, before we get to even more fun stuff. So let's start with what you're playing. Who'd like to go first tonight? Charlotte, I'm picking on you.
Yeah, I'm pretty easy this week. I played a little, not much, of the Lego Batman 3, and then I played the game I talked about this morning, which was Tales from Deep Space. It's an Amazon Game Studios thing on the Kindle. It was pretty cool. It's It's got great graphics and stuff, but it's a little bit aimed at a younger audience, and I don't know. Seemed to lack a lot of depth to me, but it was fun. That's all I really played, though.
Okay.
Well, like Charlotte, I haven't been playing a ton this week. Been doing a lot of Animal Crossing just because it's something I can kind of pick up quick and do a little bit with every day. Snuck in a little bit of Skyrim per usual. But I also was checking out a few games off of like the Steam sales that have been going on. And so I had to, for nostalgia reasons, I went back and got Elder Scrolls Morrowind because it's been forever, and just marveled at the god-awful graphics and
the amazing
storyline. I love that game. It's so much fun.
I'll send you some... I'll have to dig up the links to my mods. I have mods that make... they make Morrowind like Skyrim quality graphics.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, so good. So good.
Oh, man. That sounds amazing. And I'm so happy now. And then I've been playing a little bit of Myst, which that's so nostalgic too, because I loved that when that first came out on the computer, and then I got the novels, and I read the whole novel series, so I just, Myst is very close to my heart. So there's been that, and then just a few small indie games. I went back and played a bit more of This War of Mine, which, since I failed to write about it, I can talk about a little bit now. It's an amazing little game. It's like Sims meets Sims meets Minecraft meets a survival shooter. It's set in a war zone, but you don't play soldiers. You are just civilians who've taken shelter in the rubble, and you're just trying to make do, and you're trying to fix things that are breaking down constantly, and you're trying to find supplies so that you have food and take care of injuries and make sure you have enough rest and dealing with neighbors. And it's during the day it becomes very repetitive. Because that's what the day would be like. It's just sitting and trying to find ways to occupy that time. And then at night, it takes more of that adventure, first-person shooter type quality where you go out and you kind of scavenge through ruins, some of which are occupied, some of which are not, trying to find things that you'll need for the next day. So it's just, it's a really interesting little game. The art is gorgeous. It looks like... there were these books that I used to read as a kid that they had the most amazing either wood engraving illustrations or crosshatch illustrations. They were these beautiful black and white illustrations, and that's what this whole game is. It's very illustrated in its feel, but it's dark and pretty even in its own way. So that's been a really interesting. And then playing Democracy 3, which was it's just like a democracy simulator, and you can pick your starting country, and you kind of put policies into play or take policies out or modify them and try and keep from getting yourself assassinated. That was it's like they're all things that I can kind of dabble in for about 10 to 15 minutes at a time between papers, so just been kind of like diving in and out of things throughout the week.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What about you, Sarah? You had time to play anything lately? You guys been busy.
No, I know. Not so much. I've been playing, I've been trying to focus all my effort, like, when I'm playing onto Infamous Second Son. I beat it already, but the, like, obsession perfectionist I am, I want to platinum it. So I'm on the second playthrough, playing as Evil now. And I don't know, like, I don't have a problem, like, you know, playing Evil in battle and stuff, like, because I can, you know, it's actually nicer in battle to be Evil because you don't have to worry about hitting civilians accidentally and stuff like that. You actually, like, get rewarded for hitting civilians. So in that, and so like you can be just like super destructive and whatever, you know. So that's nice, and it makes it easier to get through faster. But I don't know, like the choices you do in Evil and like how you treat other people, it's just harsh. Like I just like hurt. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this, but I have to because I need the trophy. It's like, no, because you're trying to save your tribe or whatever, but you like you're evil. You like basically kind of like abandon your tribe and like and you know kind of shake off like one of the elders who's trying like trying to help you, and you're like, you know, root your brother and you know steer like the other conduits towards like hurting people, and it's just like a. I wouldn't be a very good villain in real life, I don't think, because I couldn't do that. It hurts me just to do it in the game. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't want to.
Sorry.
If I could do it without doing that, I would. But alas, no, I have to do it. So, I haven't been playing it, and this is another, like, shameless self-promotion. My phone can't handle it because it's 6 years old, but... our new Marvel game came out, Contest of Champions, and it's, if you like, Injustice, it's basically Injustice only for your phone. So, I mean, obviously you tap instead of, you know, control or anything, but, so it's like that. And it looks really nice. Like, the graphics are really nice, so... And it's free.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it just launched today, so can officially promote it.
So there's a Facebook version too?
No, it's only mobile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Android and iOS or just iOS?
I think it's both.
Yes, it's Android and iOS.
Yes. Okay.
You can go to playcontestofchampions.com to find out.
It looks nice. So.
Like product placement, just verbal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're taking our a lot of the attention right now, obviously. So, you know, I'll give it its due. I've heard it's really good. I can't, like I said, I can't play it myself because my phone is just really bad.
You need a new phone.
I do. I think I'm going to get one when I go back home. But, yeah. But I played it a little bit on the iPad, but just, like, while waiting in line for lunch. So, like, they have, like, little game stations set up that just so happen to, like, be where the lunch line is sometimes. So whenever I'm, like, waiting in line for lunch, you know, and not just me, a lot of people just, like, you know, tap a little bit at it for a little bit. So, nice.
All right. Cool. Wendy, what have you been playing while you've been on your deathbed over there?
Well, you know, about all I've been playing for the last 3 weeks or so. Just a little bit of that World of Warcraft. yeah, I was wanting to get into Tales of Borderland, and then I got... ill, and I was like, oh, I can't think. Can't brain good now. Must pet battle. Yeah, so that's about it. I'm really liking this new expansion. I'm really convinced now that the only thing that's going to topple WoW is WoW. I don't think anything else is going to come out that's going to be able to grab the same mix of players that WoW has. I think they'll be in it until MMOs are over.
Ooh. That's a big claim.
Well, they're really, really good at what they do now. And it's kind of cool. Having played... So I started playing right at the beginning of the Burning Crusades expansion, so I've played everything except vanilla, and just seeing how their nuance at design, the way they craft quests and you know, lead you from area to area. It's just gotten better and better and better. It's hard for me to imagine, like, some new group coming out with a launch title that's going to have the same sort of nuance and depth that they have after having, you know, been at this for 10 years. So. Cool. I don't know. Plus, you know, I got my 254 battle pets and...
Good Lord.
Can't leave them behind.
Good grief. That's a lot of battle pets there.
I just got the 250 pet achievement. Now I'm going for 400.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an addiction.
It was literally wow.
That's what you did there.
I apologize. We do a lot of puns in the office, so.
Yep. All right, well, I guess it's my turn. What have I been playing? Actually, I've been, it's, you know, in the semester, I've been so crazy busy. That, and my internet is broken beyond belief.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got another new modem today from Comcast. I will be so glad when some other internet service provider comes out of here, because as soon as they do, it's like, I'm out of here, Comcast. Kiss my... Never mind. So, this week, basically everything I have been playing has been handheld or mobile. I played Lego Batman 3, and I'm almost finished on the Vita.
How's it? How's it? You never tell me.
You know, I like it.
Is it more open world, or is it these stupid little fights?
There's scenes, and you can, but you can go from place to place. It's not, it doesn't stop you.
So it's not okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go back and forward and choose where you want to go. It'll actually bring up a menu, and you can choose which room, what floor, where you want to go, and go do other stuff and collect stuff and 100% it and stuff.
Well, you could do that in, like, Lego Marvel Superheroes, too, but it still wasn't like Batman 2. I guess that's what I want to know. Is it like Lego Batman 2?
Well, see, here's the thing. I played Lego Batman 2 on the Vita.
Right. So is it the same, or is it different?
Good Lord, that was so long ago. I think it is. If I remember correctly, it is.
There's been too many games since then.
I know, I've slept and
games. Lego Batman 2 is like one of the best, though. You should remember it. That should be like...
Yeah, but if I'm remembering correctly, yeah, but that's been a while.
You still have it?
I want to say yes.
Well, go ahead.
Because I think it was digital download. Well, because my...
I thought you rented it.
No, not Lego Batman 2.
Oh, no. I mean, do you still have Lego Batman 3?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because I will definitely be near your office tomorrow. I'm just saying.
You better be there before 12 o'clock.
Yes, I will be at 11:30.
let's see. And I played more Fantasy Life on the DS. Unlocking more lives and playing more stuff. It's kind of like Animal Crossing in its addiction. Mm-hmm. And I've been playing a lot of Farmville, too. And I blame my internet on that. Because I would not be playing Farmville 2 if it weren't for my broken internet. Because I went out right before Game of Thrones and Tales from Borderlands came out. I went out and bought, you know, Microsoft money cards and some Nintendo cash cards because I wanted to get a new Nintendo game. And, of course, my internet's been so bad, I'm unable to download anything. So I have not played either of the new Telltale episodic games yet. Aww. So I'm only going to... Because my internet, my connection is so slow that it won't even load the store. Oh. Yeah, that's how bad it's been. it's a little faster now. I'm going to try and see what I can do tonight in terms of maybe downloading those two and see what I can do in terms of playing them this weekend. What happens? I'm jonesing. I'm really jonesing. I mean, at one point, I was tempted to take my Xbox One to campus and download games. Yeah, yeah.
You could.
Or start knocking on neighbors' doors, asking them for their passwords. But I didn't. That's why when Sarah was like, they got a new game out for mobile devices, I was like, ooh, what is it? I need a new game that I can actually play.
Yes. Well,
that's good. So that's it for me. I haven't been playing much else because I haven't been able to. I feel so sad and pathetic.
Aww.
I'm very sad.
That was like when I was trying to download Never Alone, and then the internet just died for like over an hour. While like I was like halfway through the download, I was like, no.
Oh, you know what? I did play Never Alone. I did play Never Alone.
Oh, did you finally?
I did. It took like, I want to say something crazy, like 8+ hours to download.
Wow. Aww.
Because that was at the beginning of my internet going really, really super crappy.
Yeah.
So it was still load the store. But yeah, I actually had to start it and go to bed, and it was done in the morning. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
As long as you get it. So you have played it then, so what do you think about it?
You know, I think I like it. It's interesting. I think it's the way that it's set up, it's like half game, half National Geographic special.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's interesting when you play.
And I like both of those things.
Yeah, you play games and you unlock new stuff like new weapons or come across new characters and so on and so forth. And what you can do at that point is a little pop up will be or come up and say, you know, push the menu button for more information about this character or spirit animals or blah blah blah. And then there's actually like a First Nations person who comes on and like talks about these things. So they may tell you a story about spirit animals, or if it's an actual animal like the Arctic fox, they'll show you footage of like actual Arctic foxes. And, you know, so it's pretty cool. I mean, I think it would be great for teaching kids stuff. But.
Have you gotten to the one where the one, I can't remember if it was an older lady or an older man, but like they describe how their family like adopted a polar bear cub, and that like when they were a kid they would ride the polar bear. That was interesting.
I peeked at some of them online. I'm trying to think, was that when they were trying to escape from the polar bear?
Yeah,
I saw that one. So I peeked at some of the other ones online, so I couldn't remember if I had seen that in-game or online. But yes, I have seen that one. And I got kind of frustrated because I know what to do on the puzzle that I'm on, but I was so tired the night I was playing it, I could not time it properly.
Yeah.
And I had done it like 10 times, and I was like, oh God, please give me a skip button at some point so I can just keep going. And it doesn't.
No.
It's tough. It's the one with the flaming boulders.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard. It's really hard with just one person, really. Like, covering both her and the fox can be difficult.
Because there's you, and then there's your Arctic fox, or the Arctic fox. And if the Arctic fox gets hit, even though you're controlling the girl, you lose and you have to start over. Now, it would be fine if the Arctic fox would stay fucking put where you put her. But if you walk too far away from her, she will get up and walk towards you and move herself into the line of fire.
Oh, no.
Excuse me. So it's almost like it's impossible to play that part alone. Because you can play co-op, and someone can control
like
the human, and one person can control the fox.
Yeah, that, I'd like to see how it would handle like that, because then I feel like it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like, there were some that I got, yeah, like, I got stuck, and I was like, I just can't do this, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you figure it out eventually. I did, so.
Well, I figured out how to do it, but it's just, like I said, I was so tired, and I was playing late, and I was like, I know how to do it, I just can't do it, and then I just got frustrated and went to bed. Yeah. So, we shall see. And that's all I've been playing, really, this time. Who's reading anything interesting?
I've actually been reading Hand to Mouth, which is the Linda Torrado memoir about, like, dealing with poverty and being part of the working poor in America. It's been, I don't know, it's a really easy read. It's heartbreaking, but really fascinating. Just, I don't know, I've been incredibly interested with it. And while I haven't gotten to that point, I mean, grad students were pretty low on the totem pole, but you know, you still have that privilege of being able to go to school, and you have the loans if you need them, and that stuff is there. But while I've always kind of skirted the edge of that, like, my best friend and a bunch of my other friends have actually lived what she's describing in there, and so I'm very familiar with seeing this in action, and it's just I've been like passing recommendations to people left and right, going, this made me think of you, you should read this.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty fascinating.
You know, it's interesting because there was that other that I have posted that was kind of going around Facebook this week, you know, that it's hard to save money if you don't have money, about being poor.
I think that's, you know, by her too.
Was it? It's interesting because, you know, it tells you all these things. Buy in bulk and blah, blah, blah. What people always say, not what she says, but what people say is buy in bulk and do this and do that. And it's hard to buy in bulk, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's cheaper to buy, you know, 50 packs of ramen noodles or what have you than it is to buy them individually. But, you know, then that involves having, you know, $25, $30 on hand to spend on ramen noodles versus $5 to make it through the week, right?
Well, and I remember one of my friends made the move from just a really unhealthy situation, got herself away, moved to California, has a stable living place, but when she was looking for jobs, she needed work clothes, and the cost for getting clothes for interviews and trying to get jobs that were more than just, you know, standard minimum wage retail, like, that was money she didn't have, and the longer she went without a job, the harder that became. And I mean, she's making it, but barely. And there's a lot there that resonates with what this author is talking about. So it's really fascinating, and it's tying in with a lot of the research that I've been doing for professional writing this semester, talking about how vital it is to have technology skills to get ahead, and how impossible that is for people without access. Or without reliable access, because you can say you can go to the library, or you can, you know, most schools have some kind of lab now, but there's transport costs and time issues and the kinds of access that we take for granted, being able to do whenever we can get on our phone at any point, we can carry our laptops around, we can work from home, and if you only have that 2 hours that you're in the library lab with people looking over your shoulder and no place to save, I mean, that's a completely different kind of proficiency. And so looking at issues of access from that side, and that kind of ties with a lot of what she's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, It's a difficult thing to process for people who don't know, you know, what it is to live hand to mouth firsthand or haven't seen it firsthand.
Right.
I mean, I remember because I worked food service for a whole lot of years when I was in high school and when I was in college, and you know, I was a college kid, and like I said, this was a part-time job for me, and I lived in my own apartment. But I still got a check from my mother every month.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking is, as I've lived, and I'm going to put quotes on this, hand to mouth in that sense. But yeah. It wasn't really until I came to grad school that I realized how privileged I am in the sense that I never will live hand to mouth because I have a huge safety net.
Right.
That and was always sort of invisible until I realized that everybody doesn't have that.
And what gets hard is that even if you have a loving, supporting family, if the family doesn't have those resources, like, because I'm mm-hmm. stubborn. I don't like leaning on my family for extra right. help.
And that's why I put it in quotes, because
right.
there were times where I'd be like, well, I'm just, and I remember clearly, like, literally walking down the street looking for quarters so I could exactly. go to the grocery store, which was silly because I could have just called my mom and said,
but, you know, you want to be able to do it on your own. But the thing yeah. is, if it really got desperate enough,
yeah.
we have that privilege, which is wonderful. I just wish you don't realize that more people don't.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's what's rough. There's been some criticism about this author, Linda Tirado, because she grew up middle class, became estranged from her family, and... there were some paperwork issues with getting her husband's VA stipend, so that's when they hit rock bottom. And so her experiences are all real. They're the things that she lived through. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, she's back in school because for the sake of their daughters, she reconnected with her family and made those, you know, took those steps and got herself out because she has that net, and she acknowledges that. She talks about that. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of that, you know, not really poor, misleading, this is a hoax, this is stereotypes, this is poor fan fiction. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, it was real. It might have been a segment of her life, but these are real things that people are dealing with for even longer term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She just, I mean, she has the education, the access, and the desire to have a voice right now. This is important. Like, take it for what it is.
Yeah. No, I get it. Like I said, you know, my hand to mouth was totally different. You know, like I make the joke, all the time about, you know, about the one month that I like literally lived on tuna fish mm-hmm. for an entire month.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with PB&J.
I was going to say, a can of peanut butter and a loaf of bread, man. I kept it in my car because my roommates would eat my food.
I hate peanut butter.
No, it's cheap. It's protein. Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. I lived on tuna fish, and for years after that, I couldn't eat tuna fish. But why did I live on tuna fish for an entire month? Because my mother had sent me my check at the beginning of the month, right? Here's your monthly stipend check, right? That mm-hmm. was on top of my little part-time job. And I spent it all on clothes.
Oops.
So that's not the same at all. Yeah. Yes, I mean, I lived, but there was still an alternative. All I would have had to do is pick up the phone and admit to my mother, hey, I spent my money. I fucked up. I was 18.
And now I'm hungry. Money. So.
And, you know, I'm her only child. She's not going to let me be hungry.
Right. And that's one of the things that this book talks a lot about is that sense of, you know, everybody kind of fucks up.
Yeah.
There's always mistakes with finances, especially when you're learning how to do it, but sometimes even when you're not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you spend money that you shouldn't because you need to, or you like you're in a spot where that's just something you do.
Yeah.
But it only gets turned into a moralistic issue when it's somebody who's below the poverty level, mm-hmm. as if the same thing isn't happening on a larger scale at higher levels.
Absolutely.
And so it's I highly recommend it.
She's absolutely right. I mean, I'm a grown up. I'm middle class. Excuse me. And I can't breathe. Excuse me. You know, I have a budget. You know, and my budget is things like games. Yes, on occasion I blow my game budget like totally out of the water.
You know, Legos,
right? Legos, same thing. Nobody frowns upon me for
Starbucks
doing that.
Starbucks coffee.
You know, nobody frowns upon you for doing that because I'm not below the poverty line. Mm-hmm. Right? It's funny when, you know, people laugh when I say, oh, God, I blew my budget by, you know, I bought a new console this month that I shouldn't have bought. I should have waited. You know, so I spent $500 I shouldn't have spent. Right? Yeah, some mm-hmm. people don't make $500 in a fucking month.
Yep.
So, you know, so it becomes a joke when someone who is above the poverty line does the same thing that someone below the poverty line does. But we look down on, we as in society, not we as individuals right. here, look down on people below the poverty line who say, go out and buy a carton of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about that too because she has a smoking habit and she's talking about how, you know, everybody needs a release. Everybody needs something.
Yeah.
That lets them relax. And, you know, smoking a cigarette is really no different than somebody settling down with an expensive glass of wine mm-hmm. at the end of the night or stopping and going to see a movie or whatever other indulgence. It's just, it happens to be one of the easiest to access and it mediates in the moment. Mm-hmm. And when she's at the end of her rope in every other way, and when she already feels like, well, she's not going to get out of this and she's been stuck in this and this is probably her life and, you know, well, what does it matter if she cuts a few months off of her life with a cigarette because right now it gets her through the day. And it's very much a reframing of the thing, the common arguments that get tossed around. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I took way too much time with that, but it was just such a fascinating Mm-hmm. It's been a fascinating read. So,
cool. Sounds interesting. It's going to make me read it now, though.
Yeah.
The nice thing is it was only $11 on Kindle. It was super cheap. So.
It is expensive for Kindle.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I'm used to spending money on textbooks on Kindle now, so I'm just it's under 15. I'm happy.
So here's the bigger question, because we're talking about saving money. Is it loanable?
Hey.
That I don't know.
Wow. I can find out.
I'm spreading my cold via the Google Hangout. Yep. I read that article that you, the one that you linked, Sam, and the example that really stood out to me was when her car broke down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just a long chain of events because I stood on my own pretty well as a grad student, but I definitely got a couple thousand from my parents in car repairs.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I have no savings. All I can do is
mm-hmm.
buy this month's food and pay my bills and
mm-hmm. oh my God,
when the transmission goes out.
I was literally leaving to move to Houston to do my internship the summer before I was going to move here, and the weekend before I was leaving, the radiator in my car melted.
Oh my God.
Wow. And the dealership was like, that's going to be $2,000, and I just sat there and cried because I was like, I don't have $2,000.
Yeah.
I do have a mother.
Yeah.
I think I would sit there and cry right now if somebody told me, like, I'm
just kidding. I mean, but here's the thing is that we think about those things, and I have a child, so I have to think about the way that I frame things for her too. When we got a new van, I got rid of the old one, and she said, well, why are we getting a new van? I'm like, well, this one's kind of broken. We need a new one, you know. instead of starting to pay for, you know, repairs on the old one, you know, why not trade it in, get a new one, and then I don't have to worry about the repairs, is what I was thinking when I got the new van, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, she heard that as car's broken, buy a new one. And that's kind of been, and that's been a while, because we've had that van for probably a year and a half, 2 years now. About 2 years. And she remembered that because her teacher's car broke down last week. And I guess P must have asked her, oh, so are you going to get a new car? Yeah. And she was like, no, I took the bus to school today, and I'm going to get it fixed. Mm-hmm. That didn't register to her. Mm-hmm. She was like, your car broke down, so you took the bus. You're like, why didn't you go get another car? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, why didn't you just replace the broken car? Why are you getting it fixed? If it doesn't run, why aren't you replacing it? Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me that I was like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, why does she think it's okay to replace your vehicle because it's broken? Well, I know why, because, you know, she's a kid for one, but mm-hmm. I thought to myself, I need to do a better job of framing that for her, so she doesn't think that that is the answer and that something is wrong with other people who don't go get another car. Because like I said, it was a larger issue than the car is broken, I'm going to get a new one. It was, okay, this is one of many things that's gone wrong with this car, so it's just going to continue to get worse. And there were other things that I didn't like about it, so why not just get another one before things, you know, start to get too crazy expensive.
But, of course, that also goes back to, and I know you know this, but I'm just saying, you have to have money to save money.
Right. I had to be able to buy another car.
Because my car's sad. I'm not going to lie. It's sad. It's a sad, wrecked 10-year-old car, but it's not going anywhere. I mean, it goes. That's why I'm not getting rid of it.
Let me tell you, mine's gonna be sad and wrecked before I get rid of this one.
But for the record, I didn't wreck it. Somebody hit it in the middle of the night last year during one of those snowstorms.
I remember that.
And so now I drive around making everybody think I don't know how to drive, which is fine because they leave me alone, you know.
Get out of her way.
You're one of those people with, like, the tons of damage on their car, and you're like, oh, shit, I better not park next to them.
Exactly.
And they leave you alone.
They leave me alone. I didn't even do it, but hey.
All right. Anybody else? We're time to move on, y'all. Anybody else read anything interesting?
Nope.
That was a long time.
Sorry.
Good.
No, it's good.
No, it was a good conversation. Seriously. All right. So here's the fun part. What you drinking? Charlotte, what you drinking?
Fruit beer. I mean, cranberry ginger shandy. Same as last time.
Oh, that's good.
It, sounds good.
Fine. Says you. Mm. What about you, Jen? What you drinking?
I've got a glass of Moscato.
Ooh.
Love a Moscato.
Mm-hmm. I've been drinking a lot more wine lately, hanging out with you guys for game nights. Since we drink for so long, I can't drink, like, alcohol for that many hours.
Yeah, it's a little dangerous.
I'd be laid out somewhere. I mean, liquor, I should say, not alcohol.
I was going to say, that is alcohol. You know that, right? There's alcohol in there.
I know.
You know, if you mix it with sparkling water, though.
No, not going to do that.
It cuts the alcohol, I'm just saying.
Sarah, what about you? Are you drinking, or are you just ready to get back to work after this is over?
No, I just have water.
Oh. And, Wendy, how's your tea doing over there?
It is some fantastic peppermint tea with honey.
Yum. Yeah. That sounds good.
Sounds good.
I'm not as good as Moscato, but
Moscato is special.
Yeah, you do what you do. I am. It's my turn. I am drinking. Actually, it's funny. A funny story. A friend of mine had sent a message, and she was like, I bought the worst stuff in the entire world, and she bought, like, you know, a whole pack of it, and she's like, who wants it? And I was like, it sounds interesting. I'll take it.
What is it?
It's Sprecher's Fire Brewed Hard Root Beer.
Oh, sounds good, actually.
It is very good.
I've never heard of it.
It tastes hard like beer? It's root beer. It's a hard root beer.
With alcohol.
With alcohol. It's hard root beer. It's yummy. And I don't really like root beer, but the beer taste to it kind of kills all the root beer bite to it. So it tastes like root beer, but it's yummy. It's a, like I said, Sprecher's Fire Brewed Hard Root Beer.
Interesting.
It's pretty good. I'm about to start on my second one. I came home and stuck it in the fridge, so I was like, I will try and see. Now we'll see if I wake up with a headache. That's gonna be the telling part.
Drink extra water.
Yeah, you know what? When it's bad alcohol, that doesn't work for me. Aww. If it's good alcohol and I drink too much, drinking extra water will stop a headache. But yeah. Bad alcohol that just gives me, because some alcohol just gives me a headache, even like drinking small amounts of it. Like bad vodka, one drink will have, I'll have a headache the next day.
I like the taste of Mike's, but Mike's hurts my stomach after one.
Mm. Yeah, see.
Mike's is good in the winter, I mean the summer.
Yeah, I've moved more to ciders just because I can't do Mike's anymore.
Yeah, see. Yeah, you're going to have to try this Sprecher's Hard Root Beer. Pretty good.
It sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you like root beer, and I don't particularly like root beer.
I do like root beer.
Me too.
Yeah, it's yummy. All right. So, we will jump. Down to our issue of the week, which is not really an issue, but we can talk about it anyway.
It's an issue.
It's an issue. It's fun stuff. Huh? Right?
I guess.
Uh-oh.
Sad. I mean, it's an issue in the sense that I write about it every week, so there's issues.
It is an issue. We're going to talk about toys this week. And again, right, we said we were going to talk about toys last time, and we started talking about Gamergate, and then we just talked about...
Gamergate.
And then we talked about toys a little bit at the end, or some dolls a little bit at the end.
Yes.
But this week, we're going to talk about toys more holistically. And what I can't remember if we brought it up or not, and I want to bring this up before we get started, or as we get started. We were having game night at my house, and we were playing Dark, Darker, Darkest. Did we bring this up last time? And
the yellow?
Which is a board game, yes. And one of the characters' name was like Lucy Chen or something like that. And we noticed that, oddly, Lucy Chen, of course, is an Asian character, and they made the base of her figure, because the game's got figures, yellow.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this was probably totally unintentional. At least I'm hoping it was. But just paying a little more attention, a little more care, would have avoided that.
Yeah.
I was actually wondering that, because I went to go see Big Hero 6, which was fantastic, by the way, if people haven't seen it. But the character Go-Go is an Asian character, and it's a nice mix of different kinds of nationalities and personalities and cultures just in the setting, but her costuming and a lot of her stylistic stuff were all yellow. And she's not the only Asian character, and the others don't have that, but it still made me think of the Yellow Power Ranger.
Yeah,
and all of the stereotyping that went with that, and I'm like, you run out of colors after a while, because like the African American character was in green, which actually I think was Power Rangers as well.
But they could just swap it, right?
Yeah, like don't know. It was just interesting, and it caught my attention immediately. And I'm like, I wonder if they realize what they just did.
And like, I don't know if you've like heard anything about like what the comic is, but in the comic, all of the characters are Asian.
Right, and
actually,
I know.
And it actually takes place in Tokyo, not like.
Oh, wasn't that weird mix?
Yeah.
See, I was wanting to see the comic because I know Honey Lemon is supposed to be Asian, and if she is, she pronounced things a little more accented than the other characters.
No, I mean in the movie she's supposed to be white.
Really?
But
oh, that's problematic.
In the comic, everyone is Asian. So, like, also, like, Wasabi Ginger is not black in the comic. He's Asian.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, racism laughing going on, I guess.
I knew there was controversy over Honey Lemon, but I know that I wasn't sure how much they tried to, like, how much, because I know she dyes her hair blonde in the comic. And so I wasn't sure with the mix if they had actually aimed to make her white or if they were just not making it clear that she was Asian. But
I think judging, how much she looks like Rapunzel.
Right.
I'm pretty sure, Well, her and also the guy, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting to like get
it's
together
cute.
With
it's
my friend
seeing.
And go see it.
It's worth seeing.
Yeah, I think they were all supposed to be Japanese.
Interesting. So yeah, just the prevalence of that particular stereotype is still unfortunately going strong.
Yeah. But, and I have to admit this, is that I broke down and watched an episode of Monster High. Don't laugh.
I like Monster High. No,
And that's interesting, right? Because I broke down and watched it because there's no new episodes of like Ever After High. And I'd heard good things about Monster High, even though I talked about how slutty the dolls were last week. Mm-hmm. Or scary. No, it's the Bratz dolls more than anything else that are slutty. The Monster High dolls they're a little scantily clad, but they're a little... They're not as bad as some of the other ones, yeah. So I broke down and watched an episode, and it was interesting because it is kind of the same message that you get in Ever After High, except that the instead of being the children of fairy tale characters, they're the children of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I watched an episode that was about accepting people for who they are, and how the main monsters were kind of looking down on hybrid monsters that had come to their school, and the hybrid monsters were like, oh, well, what happens is we go to a new school, and then people start to make fun of us and throw things at us, and then we end up leaving, and we go to a new school. And then it happens all over again. And I was like, oh, that's really fucked up, right?
Yeah.
But what happened was the regular monsters, the full monsters, the full blood monsters, ended up going through some kind of weird transporter that malfunctioned, and then they all merged with each other. So they became hybrids on their own, and they couldn't handle their hybrid powers. Because while they were hybrids, they were actually fused. So both personalities were still present in one body.
Mm-hmm.
And the hybrids had to teach them how to deal with both aspects of their personality, which was interesting because it's more about multiculturalism.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So when I was like, okay, that's pretty deep and an interesting way to deal with that for children. Mm-hmm. So I might not be able to say really terrible things about...
Yeah, so you gotta give him a chance. and I personally think that the Equestria Girls dolls are way more creepy than Monster High dolls. They kind of creep me out, the Equestria High dolls. I'm like, they did not do this, like, human pony thing well.
Yeah, they did. They got giant heads and giant eyes. They're freaky looking.
It's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And those, but you scored some.
Yes, I did, see. I did, I scored. They came out with two new sets of them right before Christmas, of course. Yeah, and I scored some for Christmas because I am an awesome mom and I tracked those bastards down.
So I went to we do have the Disney store around here, you know, and it was like semi on the way. So I went to the Disney store to do like, you know, recon.
Mm-hmm. That's what you want to call it, yeah.
It wasn't actually as, you know, it wasn't really as bad as I thought it was going to be. And really, like, I mean, there was definitely more, you know, White Princess stuff, but there was still, you know, it was fairly, you know, if you want to, I mean, I don't think the numbers themselves are equal, you know, mm-hmm. but, like, they were fairly, the non-white princesses were fairly well represented, except for the fact that I noticed that the most of the, like, because there's two floors in this store, so most of the white princesses stuff was on the first floor, and then, like, there was more of the non-white princesses on the second floor. Hmm. I mean, there was still some, you know, on the first floor, and it was mostly Tiana. It was, like, the white princesses and Tiana mostly on the first floor, and then, like, the other ones were more on the second floor. They have a lot of, like, I know, like, Doc McStuffins. They had a lot of Doc McStuffins stuff, which is nice, even though, you know, that's not a princess, but... So I was, you know, it wasn't so bad. They're pretty good, pretty equal. I mean, I don't know how it would compare in other places because I've heard bad things about other places. And when it's like, and it's still like when it's like a set of like multiple princesses or something, you know, there's more likely to be like, you know, mostly a white princess and stuff. I don't know. And San Francisco is a more diverse city, so compared to like, a Disney store in Indiana, there might be more. But, yeah. So, that's my, like, little mini Disney report.
Okay, so here's my projection of white privilege. What I find interesting is that for years, like, when I was a kid, and even until very, very recently, it was impossible to find black or brown dolls, right? You would go to the store and there would be like 50 white dolls, 48 of them would be blonde haired and blue eyed, and one brown doll. And if it was generically brown, any brown person was supposed to be able to take it. Now that I go to the store looking specifically for, we buy all kinds of dolls, but when I go specifically looking for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed doll, it's almost impossible to find one.
Really?
Outside of the Barbie aisle?
Outside of the Barbie aisle. So I'm just talking about like full-size dolls, not Barbie-sized.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because they sell out so quickly because the shelves aren't empty, or that in an attempt to lean toward diversity, what they've done is, and this is, I mean, if you think about it, like genetically, statistically, you're going to have fewer blonde-haired, blue-eyed people.
Right. The recessive genes.
Right. So, but it's like I said, it's damn near impossible. I barely, very, very rarely can go into a store and buy a blonde hair, blue eyed doll. I always have to order them online.
Huh.
Which is an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It is, right? It is fascinating to think about it. Like I said, and I wonder, one day I'm going to like actually do some real question asking and ask them how many of each doll they order. in toy stores and such, just to see if they're ordering fewer or if they just sell out faster. Do you know what I mean?
Is it cynical that I wonder if they would give you a different answer than they would, say, if Charlotte or I asked?
That no, it's not cynical at all. Because they would the thing is they would probably think that my reasoning for asking would be different than it actually is. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they would think that I was looking for brown dolls instead of...
blonde-haired, blue-eyed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's interesting. One of these days, I'm going to start asking questions. I'm going to go to like all the toy stores and ask, how many of these dolls do you order? Just out of curiosity.
If you need an accomplice.
I may need an accomplice. We might have to do a double blind study.
You know,
I just want to go look at the dolls.
Yeah. When we started talking about like possibly doing an issue on toys, an episode on toys, I was thinking about the summer babysitting for 6-year-old boy and you know, typical 6-year-old things. You try and make food, they don't want to eat it. So you have them try a few bites until they're sure they don't want to eat it, and then, you know, 2 hours later they want to go to McDonald's. So, you know, sure enough, you know, we ended up over at McDonald's later that day and, you know, got him the super the kids' meal. And I remember them asking me if I wanted the girl toy or the boy toy.
Oh yeah. They interested me.
And I remembered you talking about how they would get so frustrated because you refused to answer that. And it was such a striking moment because I'm sitting there and going, "Yep, first thing that happens is this question," and it was so funny too because I pointedly didn't say anything at first. I just said, "You know, I want the Transformer toy."
Yeah.
And they're like. And they just gave me this blank look. Like, I mean, maybe the guy didn't know what Transformers were, but that seems like living under a rock. And just, it's just like, well, the boy toy or the girl toy? And it's like, oh, just give me the boy toy. I'm babysitting a 6-year-old and I'm tired. Like, I don't have the energy to argue it at this point. But it was very striking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I refused. I never answered. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never answered.
I'm gonna start doing that because
I was weak.
I always get McDonald's when I'm on the road because they have the best coffee. I know you don't agree, Sam, but it's irrelevant. And I get the kids' meal because that's the only appropriate size of a meal that McDonald's sells. And they always ask me, "Do you want the toy?" And the girl or the boys, and I always want to say, "Which one is better? I want the better toy."
Right.
Uh-huh. I don't care.
And that's what they'll say, do you want the girl toy or the boy toy? And I'm like, which toys do you have? And they'll tell you, well, they have we have Transformers or we have Barbies. Okay, well, or not Barbies. They'll say Transformers or, because Barbie is always a no, Transformer or American Girl doll toys. What is the American Girl doll toy? It's a bracelet. What's the Transformer what's the Transformer toy? It's a figure. Give me the Transformer figure. Got a boy toy or a girl toy? It's neither because I haven't looked in its pants. Give me the Transformers. Give me the Transformers figure toy. Right? Because I know
there's that viral chart that where it says, you know, to tell if your toy is for a boy or a girl. You know, do you use your genitals to play with the toy? It is not for a child. You know, if the answer is no, then it's for anybody.
Yeah. Do you remember, okay, because I know, like, my most popular, like, kids, you know, kids' meal toy, Burger King gave out, the Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the, like, Pokemon, and, like, some of them were, like, plushies, and some of them, like, you know, were those, like, wheelie things, and some of them did, I don't know, lit up and stuff like that. And they came in, like, the Pokeballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that, I don't remember that being, like, girl toy, boy toy. It was just like everyone got Pokemon toys.
No, Pokemon toys at McDonald's were boy toys.
Yeah.
But like this was Burger King back in like 90s, early 2000s.
And see, I remember, like, going in the 90s and getting, like, because when McDonald's would just do the generic McDonald's toys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Ronald McDonald and the little Hamburglar, like, plastic toys and things like that. And those weren't gendered, which was nice because that was the only one that was offered.
You know but what? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they even fuck that up these days. They don't just do that. Like, remember, like, a couple months ago, they had, because I love Spider-Man. I've always loved Spider-Man. When I was a kid, seriously, no shit, I was Spider-Man for, like, 3 Halloweens running. Every year, my mama just had to buy me a different Spider-Man costume in a different size. and I have passed on that love of Spider-Man to my child. But they had Spider-Man toys, and they had Spider-Man toys for boys and Spider-Man toys for girls. There were a couple of different things in the series, but I would say 4 of 6 were the same. And the only difference between those things was the boy toys were traditional Spider-Man red, black, and blue, and the girl toys were pink. Same things, same pattern, they just colored them all pink.
Well, yeah, I think it was a Target, maybe it was a different store, but the little girl whose mom took a picture of her holding up the sales sign, and it was like, great gifts for boys, and it was a superhero alarm clock.
Yeah.
And she just has the most upset face. Like, are you kidding me? Because that's how you should be responding. Like, seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's what happened to me on Black Friday, because the only thing I cared about on Black Friday was a 1,600-piece Lego set at Walmart. And so I find out they're selling it online, which is great, because I will not go to Walmart. And I go to find this Lego set, and I'm confronted with this little picture that says, Toys for Boys, and it's just all the Legos. And I was like, well, I bought them anyway, because it was a steal.
I am one of the most girly girls that you can find in many respects. I mean, I like my pretty dresses, and I bake things, and I knit things, and I do my dues as a girly girl. I don't like getting dirty, but I hated dolls growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I was so bored with dolls. Now, if you gave me Legos or Kinects, I was happy, because I would make anything. I would just make random constructions that didn't do anything, but I was, you know, there was something new to do with it all the time. Or if you gave me a game that had some kind of narrative involved, then I was even happier. But dolls were boring. And, like, that kind of construct, that idea that these neutral toys have to be gendered is just, it's so frustrating. Because it completely misses the reasons that kids actually want to play with these things in the first place.
Yeah.
I read an Atlantic article. Oh, somebody linked it on Facebook today. There's a researcher talking about how toys are more gendered in their depiction and their marketing now than they were 40 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
And the big twist.
Well,
the big twist was when kids' TV really became a big thing and advertisers started marketing to kids instead of marketing to parents. And in addition to that, if there was a girl version of a toy and a boy version of a toy, then they had to buy toys twice instead of passing toys down from one child to another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a compilation of 50s and 60s, I think mostly 50s, toy commercials on archive.org.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them, at the end, it'll like show whatever the toy is. And at the end, it'll say, it's a great toy for boys. And then a little girl will chime in and go, and girls.
Yeah, like the slinky.
Yeah. But we don't have that now. Now it's a very divided situation.
I think that's true. I think that's very, very true. But at the same time, I feel like more of the divide tends to happen, or the divide is happening on different subjects. So, like, a lot of the gendered toys in the 50s would have been, you know, all the homemaking toys went to girls. And were very specifically geared towards teaching young girls how to be homemakers. So, like, the Easy Bake Oven and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's like there's a political correctness fairy that everybody's afraid of, and so they... Anything that could possibly be in those big open stereotypes, they're really careful about. But then you end up with these slips, like the Barbie I Can Be series, which I'm going to pull this up because this site never fails to piss me off. no, I actually use this site to teach visual rhetoric to my students.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does, it, I use this in the G.I. Joe site because the differences between them are so stark. But there's the, oh wow, they changed this. There should be an I Can Be section. If I can find their I Can Be section, they had some super interesting things, such as... They specifically only give her the option to be a kid doctor. They don't say doctor, and they don't say pediatrician. They say kid doctor.
Wow.
And they don't say, I don't want to log in or sign up. wow, they changed the site a lot. It's been a while since I used this, obviously. Oh, careers. Here we go. Let's see some of the other ones on here. They're fantastically horrible. If you want to go on to something else, I'll come back as soon as I find one.
I actually think that, and this could be nostalgia goggles talking, so you're going to have to chime in if I'm incorrect. I think that it's gotten more, you know, gender divided in marketing and toys and TV shows than it was, like, even, like, back in the 90s. I feel like in the 90s there was, I was thinking, oh, well, they had the Pokeball thing for Burger King, and, there wasn't any, like, oh, you know, Pokemon is a boy's toy, you know, or whatever. It was just, like, everybody got Pokemon. Or, like, yeah, and McDonald's had, like, the little McDonald's character figures or whatever. And it's, like, everybody got McDonald's characters, or like there were like Rugrats. I feel like I remember like a Rugrats promotion or something, and like everybody got Rugrats.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, there was also the Beanie Babies. Those weren't gendered, right? Or were they?
Not particularly.
The McDonald's ones. Remember the McDonald's craze with the Beanie Babies?
Oh, my Beanie Baby.
There was a little bit of a bias towards girls, but not hugely strong.
Not too much.
Did they have boy toys? Did they have quote-unquote boy toys, too, or did they just have Beanie Babies?
No, they just had Beanie Babies.
I thought it was just Beanie Babies. I just remember, like, long lines at McDonald's, and everybody wanted this Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. But I didn't...
Oh, my God, Beanie Babies.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, but that's a good question, Sam. I don't know if there was a different toy, and everybody just wanted the Beanie Babies, and nobody wanted the whatever toy, or...
The Beanie Babies had names and personalities listed.
They had well, I guess they had some personality. As much personality as could be fit in, like, a little haiku.
Well, it's about the same amount of personality you get from a fortune cookie.
Yeah. But I don't remember if they had different toys then. I just remember everybody wanted that.
They had Play-Doh.
No, I mean, at the same time, like.
Oh yeah.
With the Beanie Grays. But I don't remember, so I don't know. I mean, one thing that I thought was interesting, I read a CNN article a couple days ago about, I think it was called "Santa Don't Pigeonhole My Kid," and it was talking about Legos and Lego Friends and stuff. And to be fair to Lego, one of the criticisms in the article was that the Lego Friends set up a situation where girls are encouraged to simply build the set rather than build their own imaginative things. And I was thinking, but I mean, to be fair, if you go over to the regular Lego aisle, the vast majority of those are the same situation.
Yeah.
You know, okay, and I have to say this, because remember we were talking about My kid's asleep, but she's in my office. Lego Fusion.
Yeah.
So they had the first wave of Lego Fusion, which was the one that they immediately stopped making because it apparently didn't work. So this new wave, this version 2, is supposed to work. This is what they say. Let's hope.
I'm hearing good reviews about it. So.
I've always been iffy about Friends.
Right.
But the Lego City and the regular Lego City, Lego Battlegrounds, the only female characters in the Lego City were the characters, because, okay, so here's what Lego Fusion is for those of you who don't know. It's like Lego meets The Sims. It gives you, it has an app that is basically like a Sims-based Lego world. So a little character comes up and goes, oh, we need this in our city and we need that in our city. Can you build it? And you take the fusion bricks and you build them on a special fusion plate, and then you take a picture of it with your tablet or your smartphone, and it 3D-ifies it and puts it in your city as a building that you can then move and put into the city and interact with. So it's kind of cool. It's just like you would build a house in The Sims, but you actually have to build it first. And with the Friends version, because they're all girls, there'd be a girl character would say, we need, you know, a new school. Can you build it? So you build a school, and then all the girls would come together, and they become the construction workers, and they build it. You can actually see this. So there's like girls walking around and doing stuff and building things and requesting things. So there's shop owners and teachers and engineers and all this other stuff. In the regular city version, it's a male character by default who says, we need these things. And the only, because I was watching videos of it, the only female characters that I saw was like, well, Mrs. Twilliger needs a new flower shop. Can we build her a flower shop? And when anybody came and built them, they were all men. Mm-hmm. So there were no women who were kind of actively doing anything, just requesting things of men. Which made me go, guess we'll be getting the Friends.
Well, and I'm not saying that there's not a problem, because obviously we know I don't think there is not a problem.
But no, what I'm just saying
that I question the criticism that the Friends sets are built so that young girls can just build the set and don't need imagination, versus the boys' sets, who apparently are not the same, except they are exactly the same. Right. And that's not a fair criticism, because the same thing is happening. There's the same amount of Friends, roughly the same amount of Friends bricks generic sets as regular brick generic sets. They're the same size, the same price. They're just different colors. But all of the sets on both aisles are encouraging children to at least initially build the set.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, and these days they are. Yeah.
It's not, yeah, these days. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. But that's why I think it's not a fair criticism, because it's not just the Friends sets that are encouraging children to just build the set. It's all of them. Even the adult sets obviously are like that, or they wouldn't be a thing. But
the only thing, that they're not exactly, the Friends set and the only difference is not the color. In the generic sets that, you know, have things like windows and stuff like that, they're very frilly.
Yeah, I didn't mean it like the only thing was the color. I just meant the size.
No, and I should say that I was actually in favor of the Friends Fusion set. So yeah. That was a good, which is a big deal for me.
Well, they have the new sets too, though, that are pretty cool with the jungle rescue stuff. I like those.
Yeah, we have a couple of those already too.
Oh, you do? I don't have those, but I look at them when I go to Target. So.
Yeah, we got a couple of those already too. Yeah, we trust me. My kid wants to be you when she grows up with her Legos.
She's an aspiring Lego scholar.
Oh no.
I also want the one. I really want the Friends one with the camper. Oh, I want it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
At least like from what I okay, so Friends started off really bad, like, oh, bakery and, like, you know, stuff like
that. The high school.
But now I've seen, like, wildlife conservationist and, like, stuff like that. So at least it's, like,
it's getting better.
Somewhat better.
It was real iffy at the beginning. It was more than iffy at the beginning. I refused to buy it at the beginning because it was horrible. It was, everything was, build a coffee shop, build a hairdresser, build a shopping mall, and those were your choices. Mm-hmm. It was bad.
And the high school, like, what is that?
It was like, bad. What?
Okay. Let's build a high school.
I don't get it.
I have to jump back because I've been doing some research now. I'm going to guess that the fiasco over the I Can Be a Computer Engineer book.
Mm-hmm.
Meant that they revamped their entire site.
Yes, because they pulled it. They put up an apology. They pulled it, and I think that they did do a lot of revamping.
I'm assuming that's why their site is so incredibly different from even just a year ago. Because like I have been using the site to teach rhetoric for the past 3 years, and while many features of it have changed, this particular feature has always been my favorite. So I'm actually I'm happy and disappointed at the same time. God damn it, there goes my lesson plan.
No, there's more stuff you can use, trust me.
Oh, I'm sure. But this is mostly from memory, so I apologize. But one thing that was super interesting is, you know, I mentioned the kids doctor only, but it was also situations where they would have these things that seemed like they were really, really good moves, like the race car driver. You're like, well, that's new. That's not something you would normally associate in a gendered setting as a female job. But then if you look up, like, the apps right now, and if you go look at the books that they have available, or if you find it on their website right now, and it's buried pretty well, it's Race Car Cutie.
What?
Which I'm not sure if she actually drives the race car. Hopefully she does, but then again, the computer engineer didn't do any computer engineering, so who knows?
she
couldn't use a computer.
She couldn't get the virus off of her computer.
So it's interesting because, like, even when they actually do forays into typically male-dominated careers, they seem to dumb down the language, or they specify, they make the specialization so narrow that it's specifically something feminized. So it's the art teacher, it's the kid doctor. It still annoys me that they didn't just say pediatrician.
Yeah.
What'd they say? I think it was like pet vet or kitten pet or kitten vet or something like that was very specifically, like, it wasn't even veterinarian.
Yeah.
So like they gendered everything, including what should have been the most proactive part of their site. Now it's a different look just going to it today. And it becomes much harder to hunt down. You can still go to the site, you can explore their careers, but rather than giving you the drop-down list, you don't have the easy access to, like, the titles of their careers, which made it a lot easier to see just how sexist these things were. and they also listed babysitter as a career, which is, I find, interesting. But for teenagers, like, whatever, teenagers, sure, why, yeah, that's okay. You know, you could make babysitting a career when you're 19, when you're, you know, between 12 and 19.
Uh-huh. But it's not a career then, it's a job.
Yeah. So, I Can Be a Pastry Chef. That was the other thing. It wasn't even I Can Be a Chef. It was being able to make sweets. Or I forget what the other one was. I think it was like Pizza Chef.
Well, I mean, according to the comments on the NPR articles about women chefs, that there's not a problem in that field. So. That was sarcasm. Sarcasm.
Yeah, I was guessing that was being, yeah, you were being sarcastic at that
point. Just saying, before we get a bunch of comments.
I have a brilliant female friend who's just finished her culinary degree. So.
Well, I watch all the cooking shows, and I can definitely tell you that there's definitely
there's
a problem.
There's a bias, but I look forward to her getting out there and kicking ass and taking names and making amazing food.
Food.
I know, I was like,
And that's hopefully someday I will live in the West Coast and will actually be able to eat said food.
Well, that's the problem with cooking shows, is that you tend to want to eat everything as you watch them.
I know, yeah. I was watching, like, the holiday like, bake-off or whatever, and I was like, oh, why am I watching this?
I always have to have dinner before I turn it on, because otherwise that's I'm going to be, like, ordering some crazy delivery or something.
Yeah. Get, like, insomnia. That's when you get, like, the insomnia cookies, like,
yeah.
The whole box of them. Spend, like, $20 on cookies and then eat it all. Sitting. I've done that.
She's like, no,
I don't do sweets like that.
I don't do sweets either. If I sit down to watch a cooking show without dinner, I'll be ordering, like, pizza or something.
Pizza. Guess who hasn't had dinner yet?
Yeah, me either, so.
But that's not toys. That's cooking.
That's not toys.
It's different. Food. I was looking at, I like Googled McDonald's toys, boy and girl, and I saw that they did the American Girl one when they did Pokemon.
Yeah.
And they did Skylanders when they did My Little Pony.
Yep.
And they did Adventure Time and Paul Frank, like, got Adventure Time being, like, you know, boy toy or whatever. And it's like, there's so many female characters, and they didn't do any female characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they even bring any of the female characters out? Yep.
Not that I remember with Adventure Time. I'm trying to think if they did. They never did Fiona.
And they didn't do Marcy.
No. Right? They might have done a Lumpy Space Princess toy.
I think they did a BMO one, and yeah, I think that was about it.
How do we find out what they're doing at the moment? Do you have to go there?
Go to, like, happyfield.com or something. Yeah. You can see the current one and then see the next one.
Because that would give me a better answer when they ask me, boy or girl.
Yeah,
I can't get all combative about it, because this is typically happens when I've been on the road for, like, 7 hours. So I just want my coffee and my toy.
Uh-huh.
See, now I want to know what the next series of toys is. Yeah.
Let me go look. I'm going to look.
Oh, okay. There's a happymeal.com. That's funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Our world is crazy.
Ugh, that stupid mascot.
Uh-oh.
On that note, oh, yeah. Next up is Spy Gear and Flutterbys.
Oh, yeah.
I can't look because apparently it makes music, so.
It does make music, yeah.
I'll mute it.
There's a mute button in the corner.
Well, just tell me what it is. What is it?
Spy Gear and Flutterbys.
It's the next one, but, like, the current one is Penguin Madagascar, I think, but.
Yeah.
Oh, my grandma collected penguins. So is that the boy toy or the girl toy?
It looks like it's both. Well, it's a promotion, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the movie looks dumb as all hell, but.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. On that note, do we have more to add about toys? We were supposed to be happy about toys.
That was pretty happy.
There was some happy. There were some good things.
There are issues, though. What are we going to do?
I know.
It would be nice to have a happy episode, though. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be.
Well, didn't, like, Sweden or something prevent, like, gendered toy marketing?
Did they? That would be cool.
Like, that's like a law. Like, they can't do that. So now, you know, when they have toy catalogs, it's, like, both for, like, every toy, basically.
Somebody did just do that.
I think it's Sweden or something like that.
I did not hear about that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like Sweden Gender Neutral Toys. Yeah, it was the Toys R Us stores. It was Toys R Us in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yep. They went all gender neutral. Well, they damn sure have it here, because I swear it looks somebody puked up pink in all the girl aisles in Toys R Us.
Uh-huh. Or purple. Purple is the new one, too. Which makes me sad, because I like purple.
I do, too.
I did, too. My room was purple when I was a kid.
I don't want it to be the new pink.
No. Don't ruin it for us.
If it is, it's royal. Just tell everybody that we're awesome because of it. Go with it.
Uh-huh. All right. On that note, Charlotte, what you got for us for deals for Broke-Ass Gamers this week?
Well, we have the same Xbox One deals that you didn't like last time.
Yeah, well, okay.
Which is basically, I think it's Microsoft 350. You get Unity and a game of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation has a PayPal deal where if you buy $60 in credit, you get $10 in credit for free.
Right. If you put $60 in your PlayStation Network wallet from PayPal, you get $10 at the end of the month or something like that.
And yeah. It's 10.
That is a lot of money.
It is.
That's a lot of money in a system that's been getting hacked a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. For just $10. If you want to match me halfway.
If you're going to buy something anyway, but you're probably not going to get hacked, though, because it's going through PayPal. So.
Yeah. It's not your credit card.
It's just an interesting proposition.
Yeah. I mean, I would do it if I was going to buy a game anyway. Right. But.
Yeah, I read, I heard that there's going to be, Wii U is going to be available at Target for $250.
Oh, yeah.
Which
is like
Target?
The lowest possible, like the lowest price so far. Mm. Yeah, I know. I'm tempted to get a Wii U because I don't think it's going to go any lower.
No.
At least not for the foreseeable future.
Hmm.
My brothers are trying to badger me into getting an Xbox. Because they want me to play Destiny with them.
Meh.
I don't have money.
Tell them to buy you one for Christmas.
Yeah. I did. And then my little brother made a pretty sexist comment, and I hit him, so.
Nice. Dell has a sale. It's a weird sale, because I don't shop at Dell. But anyway, a lot of Xbox One games with a $25 gift card. I just think it's weird because I don't know what I would buy with a $25 gift card at Dell. But
yeah, that is weird.
Nothing.
At any rate, if that's your thing, that's happening. I don't know what else is happening.
Well, somebody put in all Steam sales.
Yeah, I haven't been on Steam. So what's up?
Two more days, Double Fine. A lot of Double Fine games are on sale, so there's a bundle. My browser just crashed again, so I don't have that window open anymore.
I can tell you then.
Go ahead.
The Double Fine bundle for $6.99, 80% off. You get Brutal Legend, Stacking, Psychonauts, Costume Quest, Iron Brigade, and I have played 1, 2, 3 of those 5 and loved those 3, and that's Stacking, Psychonauts, and Costume Quest. I have not played the other 2, so I can't tell you how great they are or are not. So even if those are the only 3 good games, for $7, you can't beat that. Hack and Slash
is a really cute game. Have you played that one?
I have not played it yet. I put it on my wish list, and that's how I found out about the sale, because I got an email today that a game on your wish list is on sale, so I'm going to buy that when we get off the phone. Hack and Slash is on sale for $4.54. It's a platformer, I think, right? Where you have to program to solve puzzles or something like that.
Yeah, it's like an adventure game, and instead of having a sword, you have like a flash drive essentially, and you hack the monsters, And then, like, you can change their aggro radius, or you can change how much damage they do. So it's like a puzzle game, right?
And it's a female protagonist, right?
I don't remember.
I think. I have to look. But yeah, I put it on my wish list. And that's how I found out it was on sale today, is that I got an email from Steam. Something on your wish list is on sale. And
it's a happy email.
It is. That's always a happy email. A dangerous email too. And then Broken Age is also 66% off at $8.49. Is that just the first episode, or is that the whole thing, I wonder?
I don't know. That one is on my wish list. So that's how I got the
one. Well, I already own it, and that's why I was wondering. So I think that's pretty cool. There's some pretty cool things out there. If you want to grab them and have some fun, you can do that. Let's see. I think that's about it for the Deals for Broke-Ass Gamers, but that's enough to keep you busy while you wait for people to gift you great things at Christmas.
Yeah. I know. I can't buy any games because I put so many games on my, like, Christmas wish list.
I know, and I keep seeing them on sale, and I want to be like, ah, it's on sale. But I can't buy it because it's on the list.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to get anything that's on the list, you know, just in case.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll buy myself a nice game from my kid for Christmas. But look what you bought, Mommy.
Thank you so much.
She has such good taste.
I know. It's like, you're such a great kid. All right. She's asking for Disney Infinity 2.0 for Christmas. And I'm like, yeah, no. I get something another one of those.
Aww.
So you're going to deny her on Christmas?
No, she, okay, wait. No, I have no. Let me take that back. She did not ask for it for Christmas. She asked for it before Christmas, and I told her no, so she did not put it on her Christmas list.
Oh.
I have, No. Trust me, I have denied her nothing on her Christmas list, even though I told her that Santa wasn't bringing all that. It was a lie. Because I have no self-control for Christmas. Huh?
If she doesn't get 2.0, how is she going to play Elsa or Anna?
Elsa and Anna are available on the original Disney Infinity, and we own that.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you why I'm not buying Disney Infinity 2.0, because I bought Disney Infinity, and the last time she suckered me into buying, like, five new figures because they were on sale at Toys R Us, half of them are still unopened.
Mm. You can't go making demands like that and not opening them.
Exactly.
You get more when you play with the ones you already have.
Exactly.
Well, now if they told us that, we'd be screwed, though, because we all have the pile of shame.
I know. Oh, God, the insane Steam list of games.
I have, like, a pile of actual games.
So do I.
So, yeah. Not that Steam games aren't actual games. I just mean physical games in my house.
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch of physical games unplayed, too.
Some of them unwrapped. Holy cow.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Don't feel bad. This last couple of months has been rough.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
On that note... Thank you so much for joining us for the 91st episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer Podcast. 91.
Oh my God.
That's pretty impressive. You can always, you know, stay in touch with us in all the wonderful ways that you can via email at nymgamer@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @nymgamer. You can check us out on Facebook. where you see all of links to our daily posts, as well as any other interesting things that we might post on a regular basis, just on our in our Facebook group. Just look for Not Your Mama's Gamer. The best portal for all that's fit to know about video games, no, not really, is Not Your Mama's Gamer. But you can check out what we have to say about gaming from a feminist perspective at nymgamer.com. And you can send us voicemail, video mail, regular old email, anytime you want to ask us questions, send us comments, and engage with us in any way that you see fit, in a respectful way. I add that.
It's important.
It's important. Yeah. And these are all good things to know because we want to hear from you. So until next time when we chat with you during episode 92, yay! Stay warm, stay dry, and as always, my friends, game on.
Game on.
Game on. Game on. Game on.